I've heard several stories about how the Raceros would work the whole week, and then a truck would drop them off on Mount Vernon.
Yeah.
On like Friday or Saturday nights, just drop them off and then come back and pick them up later on. And what this?
Wait, let me. No taxis. The taxi cost you the least $5 a person to bring for something to cocaine.
Right, yeah.
Wait, I got to tell you one story. We have a friend. The only guy came and got a little cranky, you know, 1930 or 35, just galloping. They give me rights to back and forth. Most of the guys go to drink a beer. That time, we don't have maybe to have 2 quarts a person at that time, because,
You're in the work.
We go to somebody to buy the beer, come back home. We don't stay over there, because no place to go. When they opened the more bars, oh, Jesus Christ, all my beer was full of bars. Third Street, all of this was the one that the world was calm down. And this guy driving this carrito, coming with Tony Garcia, maybe you know Tony Garcia and Reynolds. This my wife is Jovita.
That your belong? No. Oh,
yeah. He had an accident in this island. So they passed the little town, before they reached the station, a bunch of rocks, have an accident, turned around the car. The police came and account from one of the guys, the guy they run in the street, poor gold and Menton, in Conquem, behind these guys, and we saw the accident, what happened? The police was already. One of the police asked, El Botas, we call it, overshoes, we call it overshoes. Is, ¿Qué pasó, hombre? Pues nos caímos ahí, de pegas, la piedra. Oh, ustedes son braceros? Sí, oh. It was right, they go. They don't care if it was somebody was hurt or somebody was killed with it.
Yeah.
That's the way they treat us, the braceros.
You've already commented on this earlier in the tape, but I came across a couple of old Agricultural Life magazines that Sunkist used to put out from 1950 and 1952, and they had stories in several of the issues that were featuring the braceros. I don't know if you're familiar with these things.
Yeah, but looking for that, you never find the one of these magazines or books or booklets or whatever made in the Southern California. Not one. The most of it was Santa Maria, Arleta, Lisa's, Boris Mill, and all right here.
Why? I know they showed the camps and the camp, and you're right, because these are the camps they featured. They featured camps in Santa Maria, in Ventura County, and when one in Orange County, I think in Fullerton. And they were clean and beautiful.
That's right.
And they talked about how wonderful it was for the people who worked there.
You know what it was that places? Because it was before there was a soldiers and they come up for the children.
Oh, they were okay.
This is right here burning. Was for prisoners right here in camp.
Yeah.
This is a different story.
This would be the CC camp.
Yeah, I've been out there and there's still foundations from where the buildings were and everything. Mm-hmm. All this stuff is still out there. I think the first thing that struck me when I got out there, because I had to take, it was quite a walk getting out there, is it's in the middle of nowhere. It's just stuck in the middle of the riverbed. Did you were you ever flooded out? Were there ever a lot of problems? I
mean, well, it's actually 54 years ago, this month, the 17th of this month, to the 27th, exactly 10 days. Every day, raining, day and night. You see, we sleep over there, you know. The noise, the rocks, on the river. And we were scared because we expect the water could pass through the cape.
Yeah. But it didn't get flooded.
No, nothing happened with it. Thanks to God, yeah.
That's amazing. And now I know that they deducted money out of your checks or your pay for room and board.
Yeah, $1.50 a day.
A dollar a day for room and board. What did you make a day? In a good grow, how much could you make?
Well, depending, you know, sometimes like if you was a good picker, we can make about $10, $15 most.
So they take out 10% of your wages for your room and board. And do you you had mentioned how bad the food was. Did they allow you to bring your own food if you
purchased your... The reason they gave me a permit, because like I told you, Mr. Sanchez helped me a lot. Mm-hmm. Not to me, to other guys. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But everyone, you couldn't bring food and cook your own food or anything?
No. Right. Later on, when they start finish, pretty close to finish the program, they buy the barracks and the apartments. Mm-hmm. And they can rent it. The apartment with the stove, the ice box, and charge more. You can cook your own. It was close to the end.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to Mike, because I know there's got to be two things. I know I got to hit most of these.
Do you know him?
No.
It's my son. 1957.
Yeah.
Raul Lucille's got killed.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I had heard from someone that whenever there was a fire, the police would come down to Cone Camp, sweep everybody up, and take them up to fight the fires. Right. That's true. Okay.
He was a fireman up there.
Oh, you were a firefighter too. Yeah.
Tell him what happened when that fire came down the gully.
You know, there's in the canyon, right there close to the Rosa, on the other side, there was a canyon. They put an American guy in charge of my crew to tell them what to do. There was a lazy guy, he didn't know nothing. We got experience about 3 or 4 fires before, my crew and I. We go over there and put him in the canyon. He said, we went up the other door. No, you go this way. I saw the fire come this way, one side, slope this side, and the other one. The tractor was over there killing 2 firefighters from the forest and 1 bracero. And one of my crew takes his, we call it escapulario. He took it with 2 brothers. It was the brothers. I tried to reach them, but it was far away from him. The rocks coming this way, you know, slap this way like a water. I said, if I go to take it away from them, I mean, take it from them, I'm going to kill my children. Something going to happen to me. Mm-hmm. The only thing, I start making prayers, and saw one of the guys taking this away, put it to the fire, and the fire opened. Like a miracle. They saved these 2 guys. They come from Guerrero, from Acapulco, these 2 guys. The only thing, the brothers, that's a bruise right here in his leg, one of the rocks, but nothing happened. But the 2 tractors, I mean, the guys working the heavy equipment, mm-hmm. they was killing over there. Because the guy in charge, he don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. He was drinking so much.
Did they do this pretty much all the time? Every time there was a fire, would they grab you? Or was it just for bigger, more dangerous
the
fires? Better,
yeah,
more dangerous fires, okay. And did they give you any kind of extra pay or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, they pay better. But by the way, one group come from Chavinda, Michoacán, or Jalisco, someplace. I think it was about 120 guys. They're not picking up. They're not even touching the picking bags, the letters or the clippers, because they go to the fire right away. But the one guy in charge of the mess hall and the commissary of the Cone Camp sold the boots to go on the fire because say there was the snakes, the scorpions, something. They're making money, you know, for the poor guys. But they was lose money because they never pay. They gonna, you can touch the government check at all.
So there's no way to find out whether you're getting
No. For the camp, they can collect the camp. For the government, hell no. They received, it was 15 days in the fire. At least they have $1,000 for the
So they went back to Mexico.
And instead of the station, he said, no, we don't want to go.
His whole group took off, man.
$1,000 in my game.
12 to what?
Who would have said, they disappeared? I don't blame them, you know, but.
They had a good little nest egg.
Yeah.
At that time, it was 12 to 1, brother.
12 to 1.
12 to 1.
12 to 1.
Dollar.
Oh, okay. Oh, geez, yeah, that's right, it was. It was small, yeah. When they started bringing in, because you just mentioned that they brought in a whole group of men, 120 men from one, it was one village, one town? Or was
yeah,
it
one town, area? One town. Mostly was the same area, you know?
Right.
The same area.
And the men were usually from 18 to what, to about 30, 40? What was the range of age?
Most of the time it was between the 19, 18 to, we say 50.
Okay. Were these people that were, what I'm trying to get at is if you take away 150 strong working hands from a town that has 300 people or 500 people, but you take away most of the adult males, what happens to those towns? Right? Did you ever hear about this?
Oh yeah, they hear the youth, mostly widows.
What happened?
But you go to Mexico, like Oklahoma, Texas, north of Texas, south of Oklahoma, old towns, quite a few farms live, they disappear because most of the people live right here. It's not. Mm-hmm. You need to go far away, go across the border. You know, the agriculture, Ojos Negros, La Trinidad, San Jacinto, San Vicente, all these parts of the Lower California, it used to be big agriculture places to make a lot of money making, by themselves, most of the people. The Oaxacans, Oaxaca, coming and working over there, a little bit, but not much.
Now those guys are smart. When the harvest season comes in, they have a whole caravan. Bachelors, the chief gets off the cars, so many cars are coming in for you. And they pasture there, and then we'll all come through. When the harvest is ended, pack, go back for the cup. That's good.
Yeah. So that would and was this was this pretty common? Were the GC people coming back and forth a lot? Also, what I'm wondering, I know that there were families of workers that went all over, that they migrated up and down California. Were there whole families that would come from Mexico to do that kind of work,
yeah,
and go back?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in your case, or in the case of people that came with you, or you worked with at Cone Camp, what made you decide to stay here?
Well, for the beginning, my ambition, I was working in a country club in Mexico, was cooking and bartender, a professional bartender. I go to school for being a bartender. I know what it's called to be a cooker, but I cook mostly European food. Naturally, Mexican food too, but my specialist was that. And I come to this country and I meet my wife and marry, and my ambition is to come back, I told her, to you as my wife, if I like. Make it, as soon as I reach Mexico, to save my money, I go to make a nightclub. Because I know the corners about liquor, the food, and things like that, you know. But the kids come so quick, there's no chance to save money.
Now you were born and raised around here, and your family's your
daughter. I was 2 years old when I came to Redlands. I came from Montebello. I'm from Montebello, 10 miles from LA. Mm-hmm. And we stayed here. We've been gone back and forth for 2 years here, 3 years, but this is the home base. Redlands is home base.
Were there many other women that married braceros?
Here, I got to tell you something. Look. Maybe you hear your father, Jose Solis. ¿Cómo se llamaba el marido de la hija del tío Mingo?
¿La hija?
El marido. ¿Tú no te acuerdas?
¿Spaghetti o no?
No, del tío Mingo. ¿Mingo? De la calle Stuart.
Vilches.
De Fernando Vilches, Tri. José Molina from Bryn Mawr. Francisco Molina from Bryn Mawr. Medina for Bryn Mawr, 7. Donde Jesús Molina,
Cuevas,
7. Cuevas, 8. Mi compadre, 9. García, 3. Son 13 from Conque.
Are most of them still around?
Yeah, some die, some still.
Okay. After you left the contract work, what did you start doing after that? What kind of work did you do?
Same thing,
yeah. And then in 51, there was a big freeze in Southern California. In some places, even the bark of the tree was broken in pieces. Juan Amaya and myself, at that time I have a truck to carry the sales to the world work. We start collect junk to make money.
Survive.
And we don't make it so much because we need to go under the trees and looking for the heavy orange to pick it because mostly it was frost. To make it go maybe $10-$15 a day. We need to bend your knees on the trees and forget it. I don't want to do that. And I go to make an application to go to Mentor, the university. I work 6 months over there and then come back again. And then I go to move from Redlands to Cornell, Texas. No, she's Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, Alabama.
No.
Alabama?
Alabama.
Alabama is San Bernardino.
San Bernardino. Used to be Lawrenceville.
Lawrenceville, the package, I started working for it. Mr. Hughes, I mean the...
Dimas.
Dimas. See, Dimas, the was best patron or boss I ever. Oh, he loved me. So he protected me a lot. Even I go to work for him from here to Redlands to Edison, Terrabella. They give me $200 a week. 1 week, 200, another week, 250 for feed my crew. I cook it for them. Mm-hmm. Then nobody pay me nothing. But the end of the, every weekend, whatever all the goods left, I put in a box, sent to my house. And well, at the end of the season over there, everybody give me an envelope, $20, $50, whatever. Whatever they think is okay for me. Some give me a package, I mean, big packs of cigarettes and a tie or sacks or something, you know, mm-hmm. to gratitude for cooking for them.
Yeah. So you continue to work in the groves. There's
72.
There's 72.
To 72.
Okay. Throughout the history of Mexicans working in the groves in the New Orleans area, 1917, there were some attempts to organize the grove workers. In 1931, there were attempts to organize the grove workers. After that, there's no.
Cesar Chavez, yeah.
Okay. I have heard from a few people that there were wildcat strikes in the 60s and the late 50s and early 60s where the pickers would show up at a grove and say, we're not going to pick this grove, or we want more money for it, and yes. They get
right.
It. But it was on a case-by-case basis.
Yes.
Right.
Was there ever any, just two parts, was there ever any larger attempts while you were picking to organize the pickers, and what part did, if any, did UFW have in that?
I started that situation. But one of the guys, the name is Cortiveros Cisneros.
Yes.
It's going to be a very nice tour. We find him over there to the restaurant in the morning and say he's working for somebody else, driving a tractor or something. Remember? I can't remember. But I have Cortiveros, Viveros. His son was working with me over there in the Rios. And he fired him because he stole some apples from the Rios. He was thinking I was putting his finger over there to him. No, it was me, it was somebody else, one of the workers, the steady people working for the ranch, who put the finger on that guy. Anyhow, when I start, I go to Timoteo Ortiz, Pete Garcia, Lolo Garcia. What's another guy here? Kim was looking. Another Brazil from Kim and myself. Go to see Chavez. I'm not. We take a big truck for food to take it over there to the people to help him. To talk to him. I don't got a chance to talk to him, but I talked to one of the big guys around here. And he gave me the wrong photo around. And this, what's his name? He knows that we go over there and put his finger in me. Andres go to, he talked to Mark Garcia. When I come in, you go to see Sister Chavez, eh? You go to put the syndicato aquí in California, Andres. Just, I don't want to deny you, see, that's possible, why not? I talked to different guys because they was afraid to lose the job.
That's one thing I can tell you there. Cowards to the
business. I say, forget it. this is what it, I told you. See. I said, forget it, I don't want to move with bowling.
In fact, the baby knows. Me. The one that made all the fuss to one strike. I said, come on, Renee, you stop working. And when the time came to sit down to go on strike, those girls kept on working. They kept on working, and I can tell you who they were, but I won't.
I know that there was a packing and canning union in the early 30s and 40s briefly, where you was did and it was throughout California and some of it was in citrus, but
the citrus didn't gel.
It wasn't at all.
And the canning it just phased out because the only one was the Kimball. Right there on Lagonia. Mm-hmm. Lagonia and 6, they had their factory there.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Keeping in mind, we have some crews coming from the cities too, even from Anaheim, coming and picking right here in Cotton Redlands. Because in that time, Jesus Christ, we went all year round in Redlands.
Yeah.
I think they only had 2 weeks rest and then they went to the Valencias.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what sort of, or did you take any kind of action at all? Did you witness any kind of strikes?
No, agriculture, no. Nothing. I was over there, like I say, on north, you know, I told the guys, and somebody coming to help me right here, but only the guys was with me, the same guys, we go over there together and come back, and we told the people, and we told them. At that time, most of it was the Braceros, they don't care. They say, well, we don't care, we're going to come back home pretty soon anyhow. And the local people, most of them at that time already working in Norton.
They already moved out of the groves. I know that for a long time, the bags, gloves, and clippers, and all that stuff had to be purchased by the pickers. Did the Braceros have to buy their own stuff?
No.
It was all provided.
The only the Braceros supposed to be, once, quite a few packing house, they give you the gloves.
Okay.
Once one pair a week.
Right.
And you keep it in mind, one pair a week is, that's not enough.
Yeah.
Especially if you go to pick lemons.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yes,
and that time, look, we have inspectors in Redlands, one for the county, one for the state, and one for the federal, and one for the packing house. 4 inspections. They have an orange and do this. Say, you know, we use clippers, sir. If they find 3 oranges in your box, you have 3 days off.
Really? 3 misclipped oranges and they dock you a day? Wow.
This is why most of the local people, because I learned that way, they teach me to be that way. I was very strict. In other words, I was accompanying men. They never satisfied. I find that too later on when Mrs. Taylor said to somebody, his husband died, and I go to see her, you know, tell you that, you know, accompanying with sentiments about your husband dead. Say, okay, and talk to his friend, say, look, this guy was like a Robert C. Crusoe. He said, goodbye. Like an Indian, see, we civilized the guys. They say, well, if we told him, kill one Bracero, he killed for us. That's what he told to his friends. I say, son of God, so many years I helped these people do whatever they please. This is the way it is. Even the first beautiful garden in Redlands, who planned for these people myself over there in the end of the Crampton Hills. To the end.
But they had the first Christmas tree farm.
No, yeah, it's still, I think there's a farm still right there, mm-hmm. right at the bottom of the hills.
I was the first guy to plant some Christmas tree in this valley for the people.
Hmm. They're all over the valley now.
Yeah.
So they take you much closer to put the Christmas trees in. Problem is here. Questions about the Braceros, but I've already asked so many questions about that. Now, as far as I know what I was going to ask you, but some of the issues that I heard that came up in the 60s and the 50s, as far as picking went, were they did not provide, and I can remember my dad freezing jugs of water, digging in water, because they didn't provide water. They didn't have a like bathroom facilities or porta toilet or anything.
They
okay, all right. And I know what they used to do instead. But what I was wondering is, if there wasn't a union to push for that kind of, how did those changes take place?
Sanitation.
Okay.
Sanitation. Even I carried inside my truck, inside my truck, mm-hmm. a toilet, in the water.
I want to put an input on this one. So right now we don't have toilets. From here, that way, we have rest stops, go to the bathroom. You try going this way to go to a bathroom, you can't go. And the ones that are in the service stations, unless you buy gas in there, they will give you a key to go to the bathroom. Otherwise, there's no way to go.
There's still no way to go, yeah.
Uh-huh. So what happens? We're so used to doing everything the old way. If there's no place there, we'll find some place right away.
One of the things that I heard from some people, and from our conversation, I can kind of tell what the answer was, or what the answer might be, but some of the people that worked picking said that part of the reason that picking wasn't as bad as other work was because the schedule was a little more flexible. You weren't punching a clock, you weren't timed by somebody.
Contract.
Yeah, it was just, you show up, you pick.
You pick it by the piece of work, simple.
Yeah. Piece work.
Yeah.
How many bucks you pick, and that's what it pay.
I'd rather pick piece work. I'd rather work piece work because nobody was breathing down your throat. I mean.
No, you packed.
I packed oranges. Okay.
I have read about in some packing houses they had to be absolutely silent when the line was working. The women could not talk to each other. Was it like that in the houses you worked in?
No.
Okay.
We wouldn't pay.
The one thing. I fight for every boss I have in the citrus industry. At the lunch time, I'm not supposed to eat for the pickers. I'm supposed to be separate. I say, why? Because you're the foreman. I don't give a shit if I'm the principal of Hellas. There's my people, you're going to eat with them.
They wanted you to eat separately from the...
Just like the captain?
Boy.
So he wouldn't get involved.
Eh?
Yeah.
They think I'm going to be part of the pickers. Those pickers going to control me or something like that. I say, nobody control me. I control myself. Not even you with the money control me. Because every time I have my papers, you know. Even when I was, as soon as in 1951, we have 18 crews in this packing house, in 6th Street. The one the citrus, I mean the United States right here, and the club right here. Gold Barrick was right here. Right here in the parking lot, all the crews was lying. I said to the foreman, I want to know what is my position at this parking house. I worked for so many years. An American citizen like everybody else. I have the same rights like everybody else. I have my records better than anybody else. They have 25, 50 years experience to be a foreman. I have better record. What is my position? Oh, come on. Or you throw, take your clothes, go to work. No. Before you send me to work or don't work. Simple. I can go wherever I please. Oh, this is the way you live. Yes, right? The way the ball round. You need me, I need you. But you say, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. I do the same thing. I help you, you help me. Leave me. Tell me my position. Because all of these guys, because they come from Mexico, and they call me, well, Guaraches, they told me different. They think I'm inferior to them. And they're not even speaking my language. You tell me one position. What does the truck say? Number one. This is what I want to know.
It's interesting that you brought that up because, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. I'll use the example of my father. He worked for Teledyne Battery for many years. And he found himself after several years in a position where where he was training people that were being advanced beyond him rapidly. When and many of them were local people, both Mexican ancestry and white people that he would train and get promoted before them. Part of the reason was that they claimed it was a language barrier. Well, my father refused to continue he never took classes in English. He never tried, although he spoke English well enough that I could understand him very well. Was this something that you think might have been commonplace to promote people?
Yes.
Ignorance.
This one of the things we're supposed to support for the rest of our lives right here in this country, and the people are supposed to come from other countries to this country. If you speak the language, you have the doors open for you.